Welcome to the Workbench After Hours podcast. My name is Keith, and I'm your host. This is where we talk about the firearms community, shop talk, and everyday life experiences. Welcome to episode number 22 of the Workbench After Hours podcast. Today, we got a cool topic. We are talking everything AR-15. Seems to be America's most popular rifle. Seems like anybody that's into guns probably has one. So Hunter is kind of new to guns, and he eventually wants to get an AR. So he's got some questions that he has that some other people getting into the platform might have as well. And then we're also kind of go and dive into talking about how it works, the different parts, and what you can do with it. So, but before we do that, Hunter, what are we drinking today?
Today, because my wife and I ran to the grocery store and we had some frozen stuff in the car. So I was going to go find a cool bourbon that we hadn't tried yet, but the liquor store I went to, unfortunately, didn't have anything that we haven't either tried yet or that wasn't, you know, $70 to $80. So I was like, all right, well, I saw this. I really liked Jameson when I was in college. This is Proper 12. It's an Irish whiskey, just like Jameson. But it is Conor McGregor's brand. So I thought, well, we haven't tried anything too crazy since the Japanese whiskey, which yep. Nobody was really a fan of. But I thought, well, let's give this a shot, see how it goes. So,
all right, let's try it. Definitely got that Irish whiskey
taste. Mm-hmm. That sweeter, like vanilla almost type note.
It's yeah. Pretty good though. I mean, yeah. That's the first time I've actually had Irish whiskey on the rocks. So
You're used to shooting it, eh?
Yeah. My birthday, we went to Kelly's down in Westport, which is a really, really old Irish bar. And my dad and wife made me do shots of Irish whiskey. And then we befriended the people next to us. And then, of course, they found out it's my birthday and more shots. So the shots just kept on rolling of Irish whiskey.
Anything interesting happen after that?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, it's good stuff. Definitely good to have a different bottle.
Well, I mean, it sips nice. I mean, it's whiskey's whiskey. And then I also have a beer because I don't know if you guys are experiencing this heat wave like we are, but it's been, you know, lower to mid 90s, but the humidity's been so high. Like, I think when I looked today, when I got off work, it was 91, but feels like 97 because the humidity's so intense right now. So, yeah, whiskey for the show, but a cold beer sounded way better to me.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know this time of year is my busy season with my job, and I inspect a lot of roofs. That's like probably 75% of what I do. And yeah, when it's 90 degrees and, you know, high humidity, it just sucks.
Yeah.
Like you get off the roof and you're just completely drenched.
It's weird when you start sweating down your shins. That's how you know you're sweating hard. Yep.
We'll be talking to somebody just at like afterwards or whatever. And then like my forearms are just, my God, sorry. I'm just a sweaty guy. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Well, anybody do anything in guns this week, or that's
big,
a no?
Big fat goose egg over here.
Yep, I don't think I did anything either. I've been waiting on Chris to bring his Glock 19 over, which he did tonight. So I'm going to be doing a video on YouTube, hopefully this week or so, and comparing the Springfield Hellcat to the Sig P365 XL. And then you got to have a Glock 19, because what's a gun comparison without bringing in a Glock 19? True. So, yep, just waiting on that.
Everyone loves a Glock.
Yep.
So that'll be cool. It'll be a little three-way comparison then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to just have the Hellcat versus the... It ain't gay if it's three-way. Everybody's got the... So you're doing the Hellcat versus the what?
The Sig P365 XL.
And then, so are you just going to... Basically, talk about the 19 as well, or are you?
I'm just gonna. That's gonna be a kind of a bonus thing because I'm gonna compare the main two and show like the differences and what each one has, and because most people know what a Glock 19 is or its size, I'm gonna just compare those other two to the size of the 19 so everybody has an idea.
Yeah,
makes it a little bit easier because.
And I've had my eye on one of those P365 P365. So, mm-hmm.
Yep. The XL is a little bit larger, and that way it feels better in your hand. Mm-hmm. It seemed like everybody had the last couple of years a race to see who could make the smallest gun possible yet hold the most rounds.
Yeah.
Now that that's over with, everybody's coming up with larger versions of those models
that are more comfortable mm-hmm. in the hand.
Yeah. So you have the 365, now you have the XL. I think they have an X model. And then Springfield Hellcat was like the smallest, held 13 rounds. And now they came out with the Pro, which is the little bit larger version, mm-hmm. which you would think the Pro would be the smaller version because it's a lot more complicated to shoot.
They're pulling an Apple.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the SE model.
Yeah. And then what was that one pistol I was looking at? I think it was a Shield.
Yeah,
you were looking Shield.
The Shield, but it was like a, it was slightly bigger, like we were talking, like with the Hellcat and the 365 XL.
Can't remember what the exact model was.
Yeah, but it was that same
size
where it actually your pinky wasn't hanging mm-hmm. off the end.
Still both, I think it was still a single stack, right?
I don't know.
Can't remember.
I don't remember.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I looked at that.
Gun business has been slow, so I haven't been selling so many guns. So yeah, it's been crazy. I need a gun show, but the local Overland Park one isn't doing it this year. So I got to drive all the way.
All this year?
Yeah, it hasn't popped up at all.
You know what has popped up?
What?
A disc golf tournament that I will be playing on Saturday that yeah. I signed up for last night.
Yep.
I know we always talk, disc golf's not officially part of the Workbench After Hours, the WAP, but...
WAP.
But since I talk about it all the time, some guy was talking about it. It's down in Ottawa. It's probably 30-ish miles south of here. And there's three open spots left. And finally didn't have to be on the wait list for one. I could just sign up and good to go.
Nice. Nice.
There's two open spots left, Chris.
Chris is on a break from his schoolwork right now.
Yeah. It's been...
What's going on with that?
Well, it's finals week, yeah. And I'm a procrastinator, so I like to do everything last minute, and so I'm doing two finals tonight, and then I got to do a big project, and it's due tomorrow by 4, and I still got to do a final in that class, too, so pretty much after this, I'm running home and just knocking out finals.
I don't envy you at all. I think we talked about this before, but I don't think I could... I've been out of college for so long, I don't think I could go back.
You might actually be surprised because you've developed a work ethic and like yeah. know how to get tasks done yeah. versus being, you know, that party yeah. stage.
But then like it's the homework aspect.
Ooh. Well, I don't know. I think it's easier as I gotten older.
Really?
Yeah, especially with technology these days. Like writing a paper I used to dread. But now that the app where you can hit function twice and start speaking and it types out your paper and then you just go back and edit it, you can knock out like a 3-4 page paper in 20 minutes.
Yeah, we didn't have that when I was in college.
Yeah, I know. So it's been nice. That's how I've been knocking out a lot of my papers, just sitting there, speak to text, type it all out, and then go find stuff to put in it.
If they had it when I was in college, I was not using it.
Yeah. Yep, he was partying.
Yeah.
He went to KU, so what do you do there? You party.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with it.
Right?
Especially when your parents are really wishing you were at K-State instead, then you gotta put in that extra
drink
effort.
That sorrow uh-huh. away.
Uh-huh. I like, so I grew up like in KU, and if you aren't from Kansas City or surrounding areas, you're either KU or K-State. Even if you don't go to either one of those schools, yep. you got to support one. Like Chris and I went to Pitt State, which is a small D2 college in Southeast Kansas. So yeah, we went to Pitt State, but D2, we're not watching that.
Not very often.
Football, baseball, basketball, or anything like that. So we still are KU fans. So you're either for KU or K-State, and it's either
you
support them or you're the enemy yep. kind of a thing.
Yep.
But I will say, as much as I like KU, I like Manhattan and the Aggieville area that it has, kind of like a nice little bar scene down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's like a square of mm-hmm. just nothing but bars and food and stuff.
Yep.
Whereas KU, you've got Mass Street, but that's a little bit farther away. Well, it's a little bit of a way away from the triangle, which is like the hawk, which is the underage bar, and then the wheel and the bowl. So you had to do a little bit of walking if you wanted to go one or the other where Aggieville's all.
Yeah, because proximity-wise, KU, they're all further apart than Aggieville, you're in like one.
That's essentially what I was trying to say. Thanks.
Yeah, Aggieville, it's all in like a square block. Basically, you can walk bar to bar to bar, and it's nice.
Yep.
Although I went back after college several times after college for some bachelor parties, and it's not the same. I was like, man, I'm too old for this. Because, you know, when you're in college, your main goal is to go out and just get trashed.
Yeah.
When we were there, I'm like, man, I got to pace myself. First of all, we're here for a couple of days, so I don't want to feel like crap, you know, tomorrow. Right. So, yeah, it was different. Still fun, though. Some good. The older part of town, not in Aggieville, but a little bit further, like the original part, has some nicer bars that are for more older people. Like Chris and I.
It's sad that we're starting to say old now.
Yeah.
Hell, I'm old going back to a college town.
Yeah. But, well, cool. Anything else you guys got?
Nope.
All right. Well, I guess we'll jump into our main topic, and that's everything AR-15.
Everything AR-15.
Yep.
So, as Keith calls it, the trifecta. I'm at the bifecta right now. I've got a pistol and a shotgun. So now I need the sporting rifle. Mm-hmm. And everybody goes with AR. It's all you hear about. AR, AR, AR. Keith certainly is an advocate for them, as Chris is as well. So I guess right off the bat, in your opinion, why are they so popular and why are they so sought after?
I think the main reason is, one, they're highly customizable. You can buy one from a manufacturer, pre-built off the shelf, or you can build your own to however you want it. So you could spend $500 on one. You can spend thousands of dollars on one. There's so many different manufacturers of parts and kits and all this stuff out there that it's so easy to make it your own, basically.
So you can mix and match those different parts. You don't have to buy all from one specific manufacturer.
Yep, as long as it's for an AR-15, and because there's the AR-15 and the AR-10, which we'll get to, but as long as it's for the AR-15, it pretty much nowadays all kind of jives and goes together.
And remind me again what AR stands for?
Armalite. That's the first manufacturer of the AR-15.
Armalite?
Yeah. Armalite rifle.
Hmm. Where's the... Oh, the rifle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was developed by AR Stoner.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But if you listen to the news, they're going to call it an assault rifle. That's what they think it stands for.
Right. Well, I was just going to bring that up. Got Bryce, who you've heard us talk about, he was calling it an assault rifle. And I was like, I know that's wrong. I cannot remember for the life of me what it actually stands for, the AR stands for. But I was like, I'm pretty sure an actual assault rifle is a fully automatic weapon.
Yeah.
And I think the term assault rifle is kind of made up by the media.
I think that, and it's to scare people.
Because what the military has, the full auto version, is an M16.
Yep.
It is completely different than the AR-15, which the civilians have.
3-shot burst on Call of Duty. Lethal.
Oh, yeah. I would much rather have an M16.
M4 carbine, right? Mm-hmm. That's the fully automatic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. M4 and then M16.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas civilians, we can own those, but most of us are going to be stuck with the semi-auto sporting rifles, the AR-15.
Yeah, so.
And the ammo for them is cheap. They're small diameter rounds, so they're just a step up from like a 22 long rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So the little plinking guns. And there's no recoil. You get a little bit of recoil, but not a whole lot. So they're super easy to handle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, once you learn about it, they're easy to maintain, shoot. So they're very simple and just, I mean.
Yeah, I call them the Jeep.
They're America's gun.
Yeah, it's the Jeep of guns pretty much because everything's customizable on them. Everyone's got parts for it.
Yep. Yep. So Hunter said the trifecta. I said you got to have a pistol, a rifle, a shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that we know why they're so popular, but you keep talking about all these different parts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's do a little breakdown of the actual parts that go into the, what's the makeup of the AR?
Right. So we're going to go as if you were kind of building your own, kind mm-hmm. of everything you would need. You could buy, like I said, you can buy them pre-manufactured by, you know, whatever manufacturer you want to right off the shelf and they're ready to go. But for the purpose of this, we're going to start with the lower receiver. That's basically the heart of the gun. That's the part that I'm going to put up right here. This is the lower receiver. So when you hear somebody say a stripped lower, that's what this is right here. This is basically the only serialized part on the AR and the only part that you have to go through a licensed dealer to get. So this is the one where you have to fill out the form 4473, pass a background check if you don't have a concealed carry license, and then any other part to this gun you can buy without going through an FFL dealer. So you can order it online, you can order it, you know, at a store, wherever.
Just to touch on something you said really quick there. So if you have your conceal and carry license, you no longer have to do a background check when buying a new.
Right. So you still have to fill out the form 4473, that application. But if you have a valid conceal carry license, you don't have to go through a background check.
How frequently do you need to renew?
I think it's like every 3 years.
Okay.
So it's not, I just renewed mine and it's not too difficult, but it's, if I like to have it, especially if you're going to be transporting guns across state lines,
yeah, sure,
it's nice to have,
sure.
But it's also nice to have, if you are going to be doing a lot of gun purchases,
Purchasing,
it makes it quicker because you do have to go through a background check, get fingerprinted and everything for that license. So they figured if you have that, you've already gone through all the paperwork and stuff. You don't need to go through it again.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting when you said that. I wanted to make sure I heard that right, because mm-hmm. you've sold Bryce now two guns in the last maybe 2 months within each other. And so I was like, well, when he's over here filling that out all again, I was like, wow, so that'd be pretty easy if you just go ahead and get your conceal and carry license.
Yeah, so he still fills out that paperwork.
Yeah.
And, but I don't have to do that background check.
Yep.
He just does the paperwork. I take the number off his driver's license and concealed carry license, and basically that's
ready
it.
Good to go.
So yeah, that's it. But so that's basically the heart of the AR. The AR is this stripped lower.
Okay.
So you only have to go through a gun dealer for this, and then everything else you purchase
wherever.
Yeah, pretty much. And then there's another receiver part, the upper receiver. So this is basically the part of the gun that's going to hold your bolt carrier group and your barrel and handguard. So it all attaches to this. So this is where your bolt runs. So that
oval area
right there. That's kind of where the shell, ejects. The casing ejects and mm-hmm. everything. So this is the upper receiver. So this is a receiver set. You have your lower receiver and upper receiver together, and then you add everything to it. You can buy these assembled separately as well, and then add all these parts. So I am going to get that camera off of my face because we are, for some reason, on...
You're on the computer.
Whatever. But so these are the parts in that lower strip lower. These are all the parts that go in it. So you have your trigger assembly. So basically you have your trigger, your hammer that's going to hit the firing pin and make the round go off, mm-hmm. Your disconnector, bolt catch, your safety selector, and then all these springs and detents go within there to help make the parts move. So when you get a stripped lower and you want to build your own, these are the parts kits that you buy as well. So it's called a lower parts kit.
Okay.
And all these parts go in that lower receiver.
Okay. And so would you buy from a specific manufacturer, you'd buy all of the parts,
or like... let's say you don't want that trigger assembly. You want to go with a different trigger, like a drop-in trigger ready to go. You can buy it without the trigger assembly.
Okay.
And then you still get all the stuff you need, like your springs, your detents, and all that. And then you just buy your trigger assembly and drop it in too.
Okay.
So it's really on what you want, really, is what it comes down to.
Gotcha.
Yep. So I'm a dealer with Aero Precision. I really like their products. They're based out of Washington State. And I've built, I don't know, around 20 of their rifles using their parts, and I carry them through the business, and I like them. They're awesome. So they sell it in all sorts of different ways. You used to be able to buy full rifles for them, but with the pandemic and everything, really they sell parts now. But so they sell a lower parts kit that includes everything that you need, including the trigger. Or if you want to get a different trigger instead of the mil-spec trigger, the standard trigger that comes in all of them, and say you want to get a match grade trigger or something, you can get a lower parts kit, like Chris said, without that trigger, and then you just buy a separate trigger. So that way you don't pay a little bit of extra money for a trigger you're not going to use. Mm-hmm. You pay less for everything but that, and then you put it towards your trigger that you want.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to show me on the anatomy?
Not of the lower. We got the lower parts. So this is another kind of exploded view with the grip. So this just kind of labels more of the parts and kind of, I guess, where they go.
What goes where, yeah.
Yep. So where your spring detents go, your trigger, and everything like that. So back here, towards the back, that little loop, that's where your buffer kit goes. So your buffer spring, and we'll get into that as well, but that's where all that goes. That is something else that you need to complete your lower to put the stock on. But as far as the internals, this is what it looks like. And it looks complicated, but it's really not. Once you do it a few times, it comes as second nature. Like, I can do it without looking at any instructions or anything like that.
And are you saying detent?
Detents. Yeah, they're the
detensifier. Is that what the
those little guys right there? Mm-hmm. Those are detents.
Is that an abbreviation for something, or is that just detent?
That's what the word is. Okay. Detent. Yeah, it holds in a couple parts with the spring.
Okay,
pretty much your breakdown pins, I think it is, and your safety are the only ones that really have those.
Yep. So when you takedown pins to separate the lower and receiver, you pull them. There's a detent in there and a spring. That the spring helps it move back and forth, but that detent helps it from popping all the way out.
Okay.
The part. And that also holds in your, like Chris said, your safety.
Okay.
So it's, unfortunately, you used to be able to find videos on YouTube how to build those, but you cannot. I used to have them on YouTube and they took them down. So that's how I learned how to build ARs and all this stuff is from YouTube.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I can't. There's another channel, website called Rumble, which I've moved a lot of videos over to Rumble. I can post videos on how to build ARs over there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start doing that when I get some time. So check out Rumble. It's not anywhere near as big as YouTube, but it's basically more of a free speech and they don't ban anything.
I've been hearing a lot about that because I got pretty heavy into cigars for a while. Don't get me wrong. I sell like
what?
Cigars.
Okay.
But I used to watch, you know, because I couldn't figure out, like, guys would be like, oh, it's such a delicious cigar, or blah, blah, blah. Because it's just like anything, just like drinking whiskey or whatever. You can taste different flavor notes in it. You might not you just kind of have to refine your palate to think about it. So I used to watch these cigar videos, and then I've seen, like, I haven't unsubscribed any of them, but I've just seen on my feed all these videos, like, probably my last cigar video on YouTube, all this stuff, because I guess anything tobacco related now is they're going through and just doing mass deletes on people's channels. And so anyways, just bringing that up because they're all moving all their stuff to Rumble. So
it's just like YouTube. Search, subscribe to channels. We can monetize over there without meeting a minimum criteria. Unlike YouTube, you have to have 1,000 subscribers plus 4,000 watch hours in a 1 year period, which can be hard to get if you don't have a ton of videos.
Yeah.
But so yeah, keep a lookout for that. And there are videos already on how to do it. So that's how I learned. There's other avenues to learn as well if you want to build your own. Hell, I'm sure if you got a buddy that has gun nut, he probably can walk you through it too. But
yep.
So the other one, so as we had the upper receiver, this is a complete upper. So you'll see at the back there is what was the receiver, the stripped receiver that we had there. But this is with the barrel and gas tube and block and handguard installed. So basically you just attach this to a completed lower. You still have to put a bolt carrier group, and I don't think this has a charging handle there. Yeah. But put those in there, and then you're ready to go. So this is, for the most part, a fully assembled upper receiver. The thing that makes the gun run, and you can't really see it, it's underneath that handguard that attaches to the barrel. Yeah, it's the gas block and gas tube. And we'll show you how that works, but that just is what creates the function of the gun, basically.
Okay.
So, again, this is Aero. Aero Precision Upper. Love Aero. And then this is a complete lower. So you can build them to, like, look like this, or, you know, there's a bunch of different styles out there, but you can buy them completed like this, and then if you have your own upper receiver, just put it on here. You're good to go.
Okay.
One thing to note, though, when you're buying these, so if you buy a complete lower receiver like this or the stripped lower like this, at that point, they're not considered firearms yet. They're a frame or a receiver, so they fall under the other firearms classification. So with rifles, you can go buy a rifle in most states, whether you're out of state. So somebody from Missouri can come buy it from me, a rifle, not a problem. If it's not fully built and you're buying just a strip lower or the lower receiver completely built, it still falls under that other firearm classification, and you have to be a resident of that state to purchase it there.
Okay.
So because it's not yet a functioning rifle, because you can still turn these into pistols, which we'll get into. So just keep that in mind. So if, like, you're in one state and you want to go to another big gun show in another state, if you don't have a driver's license in that state, you cannot buy from that dealer a strip lower receiver. You could buy a full rifle, but it's stupid. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I found that out the hard way.
Yeah. So Chris and I did way before I got my license. We went to a gun show in Kansas City, right across the state line, tried to buy our lower receiver, and they said we couldn't.
Yep.
And I lose so much business at gun shows because of that, too.
I've seen that. The few times I've visited you, I'm a Missouri man. Well, sorry. Can't sell to you.
Be like, now, if you were to put these two together, like the upper and receiver, we'll build you out a rifle. Sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as that configuration, they're not a rifle yet.
Okay.
So, and so this right here is what would be a short barreled rifle. So the barrel, the upper receiver and barrel and handguard lengths come in all different sizes. The legal length for a rifle is 16 inches. So the whole barrel from where it attaches to the upper receiver to where it comes out has to be 16 inches or longer to be considered a rifle. Anything under is either going to be considered a short-barreled rifle or a pistol, depending on how you set it up.
And can you own a short-barreled rifle?
You can own a short-barreled rifle. You just have to go through some extra paperwork. You have to pay a $200 tax stamp, fill out a form, because at that point, it's considered a national fire under the National Firearms Act as a short barrel rifle. So there's a lot more paperwork. It actually doesn't take that long to get.
It's just more stuff to do, an extra $200 to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then whatever lower you put it on, you register that as a dedicated short barrel rifle lower. Mm. So a lot of people like to take, you know, say a 10-inch one to make it shorter. So if they're going to use it for home defense, it's shorter to move around. You don't want that 16-inch barrel. You want one shorter. You can do that. But if you put a rifled stock on the back of it, like a solid stock that you shoulder, it's then a short barrel rifle, and you have to go through that process. So, yeah. Topping him off. He's got to get ready for those tests and stuff. Yeah.
I gave him the eye before I started pouring.
Yep.
He said, all right, I can have one more to loosen me up to get this homework done.
Yep.
Get through this boring podcast.
Oh, my gosh. That was a close one. I was going to hand this over to Keith.
Oh, I'm good for right now. So, yeah, so that's a short-barreled rifle. And then, so if you wanted to turn that into a pistol, it's a huge workaround that the politicians are trying to go after. This right here is called a pistol brace. It is completely different than this stock right here. This is a rifled stock. It's solid. You put it against your shoulder. It's meant to be shouldered, and you can't use it as a pistol, basically. So any solid stock like this, if you put it on a rifle, it has to legally be 16 inches or longer on the barrel, or else it's considered a short barreled rifle and you got to go through that paperwork. So you get around that. There is now a classification of a pistol AR, and you still have the short barreled rifle, short complete upper, but you have to put a pistol brace on it. And that is kind of a workaround. Realistically, it's a workaround. It was made for like a wounded
vet or somebody
that wanted to shoot an AR, but only had one arm. And so they developed this pistol brace to where there's a Velcro piece that he wraps around his arm, and it's a stabilizer. So that way he can shoot the AR with a shorter barrel a lot easier. And then they decided, hey, this is a way to make a pistol. I mean, it is a workaround, but it's still bullshit that you have to, that they're trying to go after it. Because a short barrel rifle, you're not going to do any more damage or be able to conceal it any more than an actual rifle.
So pretty much anything new that comes out is going to, you're going to have to fight against legislation to make sure to.
It doesn't make sense that you can't have a short barrel rifle. You can't conceal it.
Well, that, they said that even if you had, like, they really wanted to go after you in the SBR, they said if you have the means to make one, you can get charged with it. So if you got a shotgun and a hacksaw in your garage that you use for woodworking, you have the means to make an SBR. They can charge you. So
some punk ass shit right there.
Yeah. So there's a lot of,
hey, real quick before we get going, one of my questions specifically was, and we're kind of talking about it right now, but let's like narrow it down more specifically. When you're building your AR, what's specifically legal and what's not?
Yep. So if you want to have a rifle, you have to have that 16 inch barrel or longer, depending on where you're using it for. If you want to do long distance shooting or hunting, you know, there's 18 inch barrels, 20, 22. I think I built a 6.5 Creedmoor and had a 22 inch barrel on it. The longer the barrel, the more accuracy and longer distance you're going to be able to shoot. But the standard is 16 inches.
Okay.
The military typically is 14 and a half on their M16s and M4s, but that's
that more because you can be in a structured, like a building.
Close quarter combat. Yeah. Easier to move around corners.
Okay.
But so if you have that, if you built it like a rifle, but you decide to put a shorter barrel on there that is less than 16 inches and you have that solid rifle stock, you have to register it as a short barreled rifle under the NFA Act, pay that $200 tax stamp. It's fine. It's just, then the government knows you have that, whatever. To get around that and turn it into a pistol, you can get one of these pistol braces that we showed earlier. And as of right now, it's legal to put on a rifle, an AR with a shorter barrel than 16 inches, and it's classified as a pistol.
Okay.
And then this is what it looks like with that brace. So you still got the short, really short barrel on there and the pistol brace. And you can't really see it. I didn't get a good picture, but on the back, it's basically got a hole where your arm goes through. So it's not solid and they're technically not meant or supposed to be shouldered like you would a rifle stock. Everybody does it. Yeah. It's like, huge workaround.
And there's not a lot of kick to it anyways, right? Yeah. So if it's not.
Yeah. And that's a huge, somebody found a loophole and was smart, and the government knows that now. So all the politicians are trying to go after that. So at some point this year, they're supposed to come out with a ruling on those pistol braces. So it's going to be interesting to see how that changes things, because millions of people have purchased those pistol braces to put a shorter barrel on there. So it's interesting to see if they decide to make those illegal. Well, what's going to happen to all those people that
how are they going to go about going after all
that? If you have that, are you then a felon basically and have to turn it in, which why would you turn it in? Or are you going to be grandfathered in, or do you have to dispose of it and put a longer barrel on there? It's all kind of up in the air.
And then do you have an FTA agent knocking on your door saying, hey, give it up or what?
And the funny thing, like the ATF, the way they define stuff
is so... Did I say ATF? FTA, ATF.
Yeah. FTATF.
Nice.
But we'll see. But as of right now, what is today? I don't know.
The 11th.
May 11th, 2022. Those are legal to set up. And it's basically, I mean, it is a workaround, but this is what it looks like. And yeah. So if you wanted to not use that pistol brace, again, put a solid stock on there. You just have to register it as a short barrel rifle.
And then going along with those lines, for, I guess, the shot pad or like the trigger, you know, there's like tri-burst or fully automatic, all that stuff. That's all you'd have to go through a bunch of paperwork to get licensed for that.
So, yeah, if you want to make...
Let's leave full auto out of it. Okay. But there's like tri-burst or there's the ones like...
Anything that shoots more than one round in one trigger pull is considered a
fully automatic. Full auto.
So what's... Whether it's considered a full trigger pull. Like, what if you pull the trigger down and it fires, and then when you release the trigger, it fires another round. Is that considered one trigger pull?
That's in question.
Yeah.
So there are companies that make triggers that simulate a full auto, but it's technically you're pulling the trigger once and the recoil of the gun it uses to reset and pull the trigger back itself. It's a workaround. And
okay. I just was trying to figure out like where that line is.
That's another thing that they're currently going after.
Okay.
I think Rare Breed Triggers was one brand that they actually sent out a letter to every gun dealer, and I got one too, to where they're like, hey, if you have this, pull it off your shelf, stop selling it, and then we're going to come get it.
And what are those specific triggers called, the ones that use the recoil?
Binary triggers.
Binary.
I think it's Franklin Armory.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that make them.
But yeah, I've shot a couple of them. They're hard to get used to and actually make it to where it's like full auto. But basically what it is, if you pull the trigger once, one round comes out, and then you reset the trigger, and then you got to pull it again, another round comes out. That's semi-auto. That's what every firearm that we have. So that's semi-auto. Anything else to where you pull that trigger, and even if just two bullets come out, like two rounds come out with that one trigger pull, it's considered a full auto and has to be registered as one.
Okay.
Which is, again, stupid.
Well, that answers the question for that.
Because if you've ever shot anything full auto, you're going to be way less accurate than with a semi-auto. You're going to be way less accurate with a shorter barrel rifle, too.
Yeah.
The shorter the barrel, the less it's going to be
accurate. The greater degree. Mm-hmm. For error.
Yeah. It's not like, it's a stupid argument that they have in whatever. These semantics. Scary black guns. But anyway, so I got kind of like an animation video that will kind of go through the show, how
Let's see it actually works.
So this is like a full auto, or not a full auto, a fully complete built AR-15. And it kind of has like it's transparent, so you can see the internals. So once you have it built, it shows like once you pull the trigger, it shows the bullet coming out. And then also at the same time, the gas is going down the barrel, going up into the gas block, back through the gas tube, and then running the bolt back. So basically once it hits the bolt carrier group, the inertia of it pushes the bolt carrier back into your buffer kit, which is inside your stock. And then that springs it forward. As it's coming back forward, it picks up a round from the magazine, puts it in the chamber, and then again, pull the trigger, the hammer releases, and it all goes again. So it's pretty cool. It's actually really cool to see it in that video. So there's no sound to the video, but it's just pretty cool. So the bolt's going forward, feeding the round. You take the safety off, pull the trigger, the hammer goes up, hits the firing pin, and the gun functions that way. And then this is a shot of the bolt carrier group going back into the stock or the buffer tube. So when you put a spring in, that's what's actually happening back there.
Okay.
And again, this is just it, front version of it, the barrel there. So things are kind of cool how they are able to get such detail in these videos. But, forward a little bit to this one. So this is the bolt carrier group. This is basically what runs the gun too. Inside there where these grooves are, where the bullet sits, is the firing pin. So when you hit that, it goes forward, hits the primer. And yeah, so most ARs are the direct gas impingement. So this is what actually runs it. I guess if you're listening on audio only, you can't really see this, but it's basically just walking you through how the function of the gun works.
And so it struck the firing pin.
So yeah, so once the bullet passes through down the barrel, and there's a lot of gas and pressure built up in there. And so as it's traveling down the barrel, there's a gas tube. There's like a small little hole in the top of the barrel, and then your gas tube goes around that. And then there's the gas tube right there connects to.
And that's what pushes the bolt back to.
The gases go through that tube back to the bolt. And then the inertia from that gas pushes the bolt carrier back. And that's where it kind of resets the trigger. And then when it comes back forward, it picks up the round from the magazine, goes back into the chamber, and then goes all the way around again. So kind of cool how that works. So
I'm sorry, cool animation too.
So unfortunately, if you're listening to audio only, you didn't get to see that, but so check it out on YouTube.
You're probably a gun person anyways, if you're on audio only, probably. So you probably already know how all this works. Okay. But
that's how it works. And with it being such a small diameter round, again, there's not a whole lot of kick to it really, especially the more crap you put on it, the heavier rifle gets. And that's the cool thing is there's so many different, it's so popular right now. There's so many different companies that make parts, pieces, and attachments and everything for these things that, you know, you can, like I said, you can spend $500 on a basic mil-spec one. And when they say mil-spec, that's just basically what meets the minimum standard for the military. So it's
military
nothing specific. Great. Yeah. You get like plastic handguards, plastic stock. The trigger's like 5 pounds and okay. But you can up all these companies make aftermarket parts, and then you can just
go to town.
Go crazy. And like what Chris did, you can paint your own.
Yep.
Like paint it to any color you want. So
I think my first one I did a red and blue theme. Mm-hmm. So the whole stripped lower, I painted it like metallic blue, painted my trigger red and got anodized red, like just hardware to match it. And then the upper I did like blue hardware with it. So
yep.
I like it. It was fun.
Yeah. So again, customize it to any way you want. And that's the cool thing is you get a Glock, and for the most part, a Glock's a Glock.
Yep.
When you get an AR, you customize it to however you want to and make it personal
all the way through.
And it depends on how you're going to use it. So, and they make scopes. As far as like sights, you can use the iron sights, the flip up sights,
45-degree angle sights. Yep.
You can use scopes. You can use red dots, like all the thermal ones, night vision, all this stuff. You can mount flashlights. You can mount bipods, anything.
So
slings, like it's.
So besides the obvious of, you know, the pros and cons of buying your own, or buying a complete one and building your own. Mm-hmm. Besides the obvious, one obviously comes together, one doesn't. Say you wanted to buy, like, I guess, are you saving money if you buy one that's already put together, but it's already kind of, you know, decently customized? Or are you spending more if you completely customize it yourself? You know, what does that run down? Because I've seen, you know, complete builds online, but they've got all the bells and whistles to it. Is that going to cost way more than if you do it yourself?
Generally, so if you do it yourself, you're going to build it to however you want to and use just the parts that you want. So say if you go and buy a Smith & Wesson, let's just say the basic Smith & Wesson one. If you're new to the AR platform and you're not going to use it for a whole bunch of stuff, you just want to go shoot it and keep it stock as it comes, then that's fine. You know, spend $600-$700, whatever they are now. Eventually down the road, if you want to change anything out, you can swap out the trigger, anything you want to, but that's not something that has to happen. So if how it comes from the manufacturer is how you want it, then yeah, go that route and you're good to go. But if you think that you're going to want to change a bunch of things on it right away, it might be more cost effective to build it yourself because you're paying for a fully assembled upper or rifle with all these, you're paying for all the parts to just go and change them all out. You're spending a lot more extra money.
Okay. So then if you do buy one that's super customized already, essentially someone just took the time to source out all these, you know, maybe it's got the trigger assembly you want and, uses all, you know, like the, what is it, Terran Tactical or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, if you bought one of theirs, they've taken the time to just do all the work you could have done yourself.
Yeah.
And so if, now they're just going to be charging you for essentially their labor on top of all the parts.
Yeah. If that's, if you know that's how, what you want, then go that route because it's made in their factory, probably going to have a warranty to it to where if you build it yourself, generally not going to have a warranty. If you screw anything up, could have issues. So if you're worried about that and don't get something set right, you could have issues. Whereas if you buy it from the factory, the chances of you having issues with a gun, a little less likely to happen. Plus anything does happen, it's generally covered under their warranty. But I mean, yeah, if there's companies and even other dealers that make custom ARs and they generally either build it spec'd out by a customer who wants it a certain way or just however they want to, mm-hmm. And sell it that way. So that's when you end up with more than one AR.
Yeah.
Because you buy one and you like the way it's set up, but then you're like, well, maybe I want these other things and where I have a spare, say lower receiver sitting around or some spare parts. And you're like, well, instead of swapping them out on this rifle, why don't I just build a rifle, another one with these parts?
Yeah, because I think my first rifle I went with, I was like, I'm not going past $600. And that was my budget. So I was sitting there piecing it out, searching for the best thing I could for the price. Mm-hmm. And it was possible. And then the second one I spent a lot more money on. But
yeah,
but I still did it by pieces, though. That's the best thing I liked about it, because I could buy this piece this month, wait a couple months, and then buy like the barrel that I want and whatnot, or wait for a sale, you know, it's going to drop.
Get that last piece on Christmas, yeah. And now you got yourself a Christmas present.
Yeah, and then you got your whole build done. So.
and if you do buy a pre-built AR, depending on who you buy it from, I mean, you could be getting a really high-quality rifle as is. You could still add, you know, a sight or whatever attachments you want to it, but, like, the main gun itself is solid. Like, if I were to ever buy another one, I would buy a BCM, Bravo Company Manufacturing. They are awesome guns. They are actually used in the military.
Yeah, I got
and
some
made for the
stuff.
Military, basically. And there's all these videos on there because you see videos of people that'll shoot a gun full auto just to see at what point will this gun fail and melt or whatever. Military Arms Channel does one where he's taken a BCM rifle, their popular recce one, and is doing like 10,000 rounds or like 5,000 rounds, thousands of rounds at a time, not cleaning it, storing it away, bringing it back out, not doing any cleaning, any lubrication, and seeing how long this thing will run for. He's not doing anything crazy to where he's shooting a full auto because that's not practical. If you shoot full auto for, you know, 5,000 rounds, you're going to have failure no matter what gun it is. But he's doing it semi-auto. So he'll fire, you know, maybe 1,000 rounds once, put it away for a while, take it back out, fire another 1,000 rounds. And he's, the last video I saw, he was probably tens of thousands maybe and nothing. And that's without cleaning it or adding any lubrication to it as well. So the BCM rifles are good. They're, you know, they're typical black. I mean, nothing fancy about them, but those, you know, are going to work.
Yep.
Whereas if you build it yourself, you might screw something up, might not be as reliable.
It's more fun to do it that
way. So that is one thing. If, you know, you want reliability, maybe buy from a manufacturer.
Okay. Last thing I have for you. So I hear, you know, I don't even know the round size. It's like 3.3 something.
223.556.
223.556. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between that? And then also, what's the difference between an AR-15 and an AR-10?
So do you want to take the AR-15, AR-10?
So the AR-15 is a smaller round. It's a smaller rifle. It's usually your 223.556. And you can buy like a 9mm and what's the other one I was thinking of? You can buy a 22 long adapter for your AR-15. Your AR-10 is a lot bigger round. That's going to be your 308, 6.5 Creedmoor, 7.62 by what, 32, I think. I know it's a weird round. It's a 7.62 by something, but those are going to be like a lot more kick, a lot. It's a high, more high powered round pretty much than your AR-15.
Okay.
And a lot more expensive to build.
Yep.
When you, and you're saying that the 10 can shoot these different rounds. Do you have to have a different, what do you, is there anything you need to swap out to shoot these different rounds?
Well, it just depends. Like a lot of them, you got to make sure the barrel's going to match the round you're going to shoot.
Okay.
So
if you want to switch between the Creedmoor and the,
like a 308, I'd have to buy a 308 barrel and a 308 muzzle brake. And that's about it.
Okay.
And I can swap it out. This, your AR-15, you can get a wild barrel, which will shoot both your 5.56, 223 round.
Do you lose any accuracy when you do that?
They're pretty much the same. It's just different grain, pretty much.
You get better accuracy out of the wild barrel.
Yeah.
Better accuracy? Mm-hmm. And well, the grain is how heavy the bullet is, right?
Yep. How much power, yeah.
But how much power or how heavy grain the powder?
Grain is how heavy the bullet is.
Okay.
The bullet weight is measured in grain. So when you see a 55 grain round or on a casing or mm-hmm. on a box, that's actually referring to the weight of, because I thought it was how much powder was in there initially. It's actually how much the bullet weighs.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They always show the powder on the back. So you assume that.
Yeah. And that's what I thought for the longest time, but it's actually the weight of the bullet.
Okay.
Okay. So then essentially the 223 and the 5.56, same thing. It's just a heavier bullet. One's a heavier bullet.
So they're different.
They're like Microsoft.
Yeah.
They're really
what's the point of that? Why is there, if one, they're so
one's,
similar?
One's a military round. Your 5.56 is a
5.56 NATO is military.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a higher velocity than your 223.
Yeah.
Okay. Generally. But the difference is going to be very minor. That's why most ARs or AR barrels can shoot both rounds.
Gotcha.
So as long as your barrel says 5.56,
223,
or 223 on there, both of them, it can shoot either one. That's primarily where you're going to find now. Back, you know, several years ago, if it said 223, that's all you could shoot on there. But now that they're so popular, they're making barrels that shoot both. You can also get a barrel that shoots 223 wild, shoots both. Okay. You can shoot 223 or 5.56 out of there. It's just going to be a little more accurate than your standard barrel.
Okay. But
generally, the difference is going to be price, bullet weight is going to be a little difference between the two, and then your velocity. But 5.56 NATO is generally what the military uses. And then the 223 Remington is what it is
more of a varmint.
Civilian.
That's what they call.
Yeah.
It's a varmint round.
Yeah. You shoot like.
Damn varmint.
Yeah.
Coyotes.
Coyotes.
Yeah.
And then
opossums.
Hogs.
And then with like the AR-15, you can swap out barrels and do different calibers. So like the next popular one is a 300 blackout. So everything else stays the same. The only thing you have to change is the barrel and the muzzle device at the end of the barrel. Everything else.
300 blackout, you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just a different bullet size then?
Yep. It's in between an AR, a 223 round and a AK round, which is 7.62. It's kind of in between those.
Same magazine and everything?
You can use the same magazines. They make dedicated 300 blackout magazines, which I prefer to use just to make sure there's no other hiccups. 300 blackout was made to be utilized best suppressed. So I built one, and that's what I run with my suppressor on.
When we went on the shooting day?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then like with the AR-10, it's exact same setup and parts that are used in an AR-15.
Just a lot bigger.
Beefed up because it's got to be able to hold up to a bigger round.
Okay.
So, and then with that, like Chris said, you can change out the barrels and shoot different calibers out of the AR-10 as well. So everything goes together the same pretty much. It's just everything's bigger, beefier, and more expensive.
Yep.
And weighs a lot more because we compared a 5.56 bolt carrier group to his 308 one. And it was a
different animal.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So
well,
a lot to it. But get into it. I mean, if you don't want to build your own or a little nervous to, then go buy one. Buy one pre-made by a manufacturer. Everything nowadays is going to work.
Yeah.
Back when, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s, really you had Colts and Bushmaster were the main ones, and adding different parts kind of caused issues. But now they're so popular, everything for the most part is going to work. If it's cheap, Like if it seems too cheap, probably is.
Yeah.
So spend the extra money, quality, for sure, but
pay what you get for it, yeah, type of thing.
Yeah. Buy a full rifle. I mean, I love the Springfield Saints. I would probably buy one and not add too much to it. I've sold a bunch of those to some family members, and they're people that are into guns, but not gun nuts. So they're probably just going to keep it stock as is. So there's a lot of great rifles that you buy pre-made by manufacturers that really don't need anything else done to it. Maybe add a flashlight or a different sight, but that's it. They run well. And then if you decide to change anything, you can change out the trigger. You can change out any single part on there
pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, so cool. Yeah. I pretended like I had a question about the stock one just for you guys, but I know Keith wouldn't let me get away with buying some off the rack stock.
No, if you want to buy something stock, dude, I would help you out. I would steer you away from the lower end ones like the
BPMS and all that.
Yeah, stay away from those. Stay away from this.
Smith, Keith, you're just supposed to go along with what I'm saying and be like, yeah,
maybe
I know.
We should get him to get a BCM recce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are paying for it. Sweet.
Well, I mean, baby gift. So if you want to build one for about $1,000, get the BCM recce for another 13 to 14. And then you got a freaking gun that's going to run
forever.
Kind of like an AK. It'll run in any condition. But yeah, lot to talk about.
I don't want to cut you guys off short. Is there anything, last thoughts you have on the ARs or anything?
Buy one, build one.
Yeah,
you should own one.
Okay,
they're great.
And they're not.
If you build one, you'll probably get addicted and build multiple.
Yeah, they're referred to as adult Legos, and
yeah. Pretty much.
And that's exactly what they are.
Yeah, yeah. So they're awesome. Whether you buy, and you can buy them used too. So however you want. So didn't answer everything, but if you guys have any questions or anything, there's a lot more to it. We just kind of did the basics.
Yeah, in depth real quick on barrels and muzzle brakes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys gave me the information that I needed to get started, or at least get started on research.
Honestly,
a place to begin.
It's kind of like anything else. You get what you pay for. Yep. So if you buy a bolt carrier group, you could buy one for probably $75, or you could buy one for $300. You're going to get better results.
So you probably want like the $215 to $250, $250 one, because you get the $300. That's like, you know, anything. If they're the cream of the crop, they might not necessarily be the best, but the name brand makes them look the best, right, Chris?
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
But yeah. So, well, once we get into that journey with Hunter, when he's ready, we'll kind of talk about it in a podcast and maybe do a video separately. Of
you guys can follow along the journey to my first AR.
To your trifecta. Yeah.
That's what we're going to name it, the series.
My wife wants an AR, but she wants hers like an emerald green, which can be cool.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
If it's never shot, it just looks, if it's hung up on the wall and looks amazing all the time. All right. I have to use the bathroom so bad. If they finish this out before I get back, I'm sure they will. Whatever you guys do, just make sure you're looking out for that merch. That merch is going to drop soon. Look forward to it. It's going to be amazing.
Yep. He's going to say that on, I don't know how many more podcasts until we actually do it. You should have gone behind me, bro. I couldn't. I got to be so bad. But, well, cool. Do you have anything else to add to the?
No, I think, I don't know. It just depends on what you want, really, if you want to build or buy.
Yeah.
But I went the build route, and I was happy with it, just because you can set up a budget over a year and build it, and you don't have to put all that money down front.
We should have brought that up. That's if the one pro to building your own is you don't have to come out with, like, say, $1,000 at once. Buy the strip lower. That way you have it, and then you can buy all your parts as you can.
Yeah.
And then you can either build it as you get those parts, or wait until you get everything and then build it all at once.
Yep.
The only thing when building it is there are some tools required and stuff like that, but
yeah, especially when you get to the barrel, you need a torque wrench.
Yep. Yep. But most people have tools in and around that can work. They make dedicated tools for all the parts, detent, stuff like that. Does make it a lot easier, but not needed.
Yeah. You can find ways around things. Mm-hmm. There's always other ways.
Yep. So that is a nice thing, is to buy the parts as you get them or get the money for them. So that way you're not spending a whole bunch at once.
Yep. That's what I did with, I think, every AR built.
And plus, I think when the manufacturer sells a fully complete AR, there's an extra 13% tax on it. So if, even if you buy an AR from, like, say, BCM, they sell the full rifles, but then they also sell a full complete upper and lower. If you buy the lower and upper separately, it's going to cost less because there's not that 13% tax.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of a workaway to get a BCM rifle. Just buy the part separately and save you 13%.
Yeah, so, I think that's really about it, with besides going into other details. But
Yep. Oh, so. There's Hunter. What up, bro?
Guess still going?
Yeah, getting ready to wrap it up here. We actually came up with a couple good points that we forgot to bring up, but you'll have to listen to it to see what they were.
sorry about that, folks. I was full to bursting right there. Yep. So
one thing we said is the advantage to building your own is you can buy the parts as you have money for it, versus coming up with a bunch of money at once for a full complete one. And then when you're buying a full complete one, there's generally a 13% tax on it. Not from the gun dealer, it's from the manufacturer and the government, and they put an extra tax on a full complete gun. So, So any questions, reach out to me to have a conversation down in the comment section. I'm trying to answer anything you guys have and or bring up on the next podcast as well. So Irish whiskey was pretty good. A lot better than I thought it was going to be, actually.
So it's super smooth.
I was worried about having it on the rocks, but
it's
pretty good.
Doesn't have the flavor as Woodford has, but we could easily sit here if it was on the rocks and just drink way too many.
Yeah, Woodford, man. If we had, I'm glad you didn't bring that, because
we'd
be drinking the whole bottle. Yeah.
I was trying to, but they were out of the original Woodford. They had Woodford Rye was all they had left, and I was like, I don't want to drink rye whiskey's a little.
Yeah.
So,
cool. Yep. Well, we appreciate you guys tuning in to this 22nd episode. If you haven't noticed, there was a bonus episode.
Don't go listen to it.
Did you see that, Chris?
I didn't. Kat did.
Yeah. So after the last of it?
Embarrassing.
I cut out about
for me.
I cut out 30 minutes of film.
You should have just delete that motherfucker.
Well, because after the podcast last week, we're like, we're not terrible. You know what? Because we were starting to have talk about a bunch of stuff in the garage. I'm like, you know what? This is what our podcast is all about. Why don't we go up and just keep talking, let the camera roll, and we'll record. We ended up going for
quality idea after several cocktails, because
like I said at the beginning, a lot of the beginning was good. It was towards the end, you could tell Hunter was getting a little loopy.
Yeah, to say the least. Jeez.
He was so I
thought Keith tricked me. I thought we were coming up here just to edit and bullshit and stuff. He's like, let's just do a quick run through of one. And next thing I know, it looked talking for an hour and a half. I'm like, you got to delete all of that.
I deleted about 30 minutes out of there, but I tried to edit it to where you can't tell there's stuff taken out. So I learned some tricks with editing, at least on the video. I don't know if probably won't be able to tell on the audio only, but it was just kind of a bonus episode. We called it 21.5. And then I after cut hours, out, after there hours. Was a bunch of us talking, like we were trying to figure out what to call it. Stupid. I cut a lot of that out. We told a couple embarrassing stories. We told a few more, but I took those out. But it's still like 50 some minutes long. So check it out if you want to. You don't have to. It's kind of just a bonus episode. We were bored. It went out on Tuesday at 10 a.m. So this one will be coming out Friday at the normal time, 8 a.m. So yeah. Well, appreciate you guys tuning in this week. And if you have any questions, gun related or anything else, just let us know.
Have a good Friday.
Have a good one. Try to get me. Woo!
Do you want access to the best deals on the entire internet for guns, gear, ammunition, and firearm accessories? Well, Big Daddy Unlimited has you covered. Click the link in the description below to take advantage of a 99-cent trial month with no contracts or monthly commitment. Big Daddy Unlimited is the next evolution of the online gun store. Buy guns, gear, ammo, and more at industry-leading prices. You could spend all of your time shopping at local gun stores, big box retailers, and online gun sites, yet still never come close to the savings you'll receive as a Big Daddy Unlimited member. Want to keep your membership benefits? Big Daddy Unlimited will automatically bill you $9.95 a month after your 99-cent, 30-day trial, and you can continue to save time and money. This is your opportunity to see what Big Daddy Unlimited has to offer risk-free. There's no contract or long-term obligation, and you can cancel at any time. No more coupon codes, scouring the internet for deals, or buying used firearms just to save a buck. Big Daddy Unlimited cuts out the middleman and passes the savings directly to you.